Immunize this fix. There's a very basic question concerning divine providence of Hashem. Let's hear what you say. You see, Hashem has providence of what takes place in the world. So, does His providence extend to every single event that takes place in nature? What's your view?
Or is it just
a general, overall hashgacha? Hashem has produced a world filled with myriads of different natural phenomena, and they work on their own. The Kodesh Baruch Hu just gives them the power.
They should say everything's from Hashemayim. Could be Hashemayim. Everything's from heaven.
What's your view?
Everything is from heaven, and
Wider nature, maybe you repeat.
No, but couldn't happen if the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want it to happen. That's the question. Could it happen if the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want it to happen?
So therefore,
if you say that, you have to say the opposite. So it must happen because He wants it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know what's the difference, but like he said, that's the truth. If there are things that Hashem can decide to intervene or not, it seems that He once gave the ability for things to go in their natural order, and sometimes He just alters the order.
Yes. Anyway, really the one who dealt with all this question most thoroughly was the Rambam, His Guide for the Perplexed. So, he makes a distinction between providence over all nature and providence over the human species. Or do you think there's any distinction between Hashem's providence over the stars, over the mineral, vegetable, and animal world, and His providence over the human species? Is there any distinction?
Yes. Species have a freedom of choice. Humans have freedom of choice.
And from the point of view of divine providence, does that change the situation?
How can have freedom of choice? If everything is predetermined, how can you have freedom of choice?
I'll tell you really, the truth is, the Rambam deals with it very thoroughly, also the Ramban in many places. Also one of the great philosophical commentators on the Chumash and also on all basic questions of providence, reward and punishment. He wrote a sefer about it. And the one really who analyzes it in greater detail is the Rabbeinu Bechaya. He was a great master also, both philosophy and Kabbalah, and commentary on the Chumash. So the distinction that they make is between Hashgacha Klalit and Hashgacha Pratit. The Rambam says that Hashgacha Klalit is over everything in the world. Hashgacha Pratit is only over the human species. And even then, there are differences. So I'll give you here, because he was really the major disciple of Rav Dessler. And Rav Dessler discussed this question at great length. And based on the Rabbeinu Bechaya, so Rav Aryeh Karmel, you'll find on page 310 in this fifth volume, Michtav Eliyahu, was the following. So I'll paraphrase. And if you want to look up certain pesukim, I'll give you also the sources. Like this. With the whole of nature, it's sure, but as we say every day in our prayers, Atam Chaye et Kulam. You, Hashem, are the one who brings the life power to everything in the world. The different levels of life power. The life power given to the bodies of the universe. Astronomical life power. And there's, on this globe, the minerals have also an existence which is upheld through the will of Hashem, Atam Chayit Kulam. And the same also applies to all of nature. You know, there couldn't be any existence in the world because Hashem is this spiritual power that produces everything else. In fact, I mean, this comes very close to the vast majority of scientific explanations of the universe. Because we know today that the whole of the material world is made up of molecules and in turn of atoms and in turn of the base of the atomic universe is the subatomic universe, the universe of energy. And what is energy? Energy is a non-material power. And most of the scientists, they use different languages, but they do accept this principle that the great universal principle, the Elan Vital, or whatever they call it, nature with its capital N, is a non-material power which is filled with wisdom. In other words, the human mind can make a connection with having an understanding of some of the relationships, although the basic essence is even beyond the human mind, of the great universal principle. That means of the power that combines the day they speak about the four basic powers which produce the different forces. The forces produce the different energies. The energies appear in forms of poles of energy. So, now this is what we call this, the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, expresses that He is the source of existence. And that's more or less what's accepted, of course, with many different forms of terminology by the vast majority of scientists. So therefore everything is given its life power from Hashem. However, is Hashem closely concerned with what happens in all the details? As you already we say, he's connected with it, but how? So, like this, that the Rambam and the Ramban say more or less clearly, says that this type of general providence exists all over the world in every aspect of existence. But the human species, here Hashem, is more concerned also with each individual. So Rambam writes, every human being receives Hashgacha, but it's not the same. The personal Hashgacha that human beings receive is dependent upon the extent to which they strive for perfection, for moral perfection. Therefore, wicked people who are not interested in establishing any relationship with Hashem or with their conscience, which is the Tzelem Elokim, the divine image put into each human being, but if they ignore it, then, to some extent, Nimshal Kabemos Nidmur, Pasuki quotes, they are then compared to the animal world. So the Rambam says that it's true, there is personal Hashgacha of all human beings, but the completely wicked, who has no interest, then Hashem also takes away his specific personal providence. So the Ramban also says, Hiram Bankowitz, but in another language, further, he says, the great saints, they're not left to situations of chance. And the Ramban says furthermore, then the Parshat Bo, this explanation of the significance of the miracles of Egypt, no person is apportioned the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu until he believes that all the different things that happen, they're really all miraculous. It's not just a question of following the Minago Shel Olam. Minago Shel Olam is the stream of existences in the rest of nature. So Rabbeinu Bechai explains it more deeply. He says there's Hashgacha, providence, to know all the detailed actions and thoughts of each person. As it says in Yirmiyahu chapter 32, verse 19, that Hashem, Latet li'ish kidrachav v'chirchim alalav, he gives each person providence according to the paths that he follows and according to the fruit of his deeds that he chooses through his freedom. And this applies to the human species, as it says in the Pasuk Tehillim, chapter 33, verse 14. This is a Tehillim we say every Shabbos morning. From the place of his habitation, he looks after all the inhabitants of this globe. He creates their hearts together and understands all their deeds. I want to say this pasuk is quite significant because it's brought also as the basis for the Mishnah that on Rosh Hashanah, Tzachodesh Boruch Hu, it judges the whole world. They bring this pasuk. Also, the Rambam brings it in his elaboration of 13 principles of faith as being an understanding of how Hashem has, to some extent, control and to a great extent, foreknowledge of what human beings are choosing to do. And I'd like to explain the famous Rambam Hilchos Teshuvah, who asked the age-old question, Hakol Tzafui Barashut Netuna, which Rabbi Akiva puts into this epithet. Everything is foreseen, but freedom of will is still given, which many people think is a contradiction. And do any of you know an answer to this question? I'm sure you've heard it many times before in Parashia. Not all of you have heard the previous shiurim. So I'd like to ask you, if somebody asks you, you have a principle that we've got freedom of will. Another principle that Hashem foresees everything we're going to do. So how can we have freedom? What would you answer?
If everything is predetermined,
Everything
is predetermined, then how can you have free will of choice?
Well, it should be impossible.
It should be impossible.
Analyze your words. If you're right, it's another question. It's two questions. If we accept the principle of freedom, I must tell you, I've discussed these questions with some of the leading philosophers of the previous generation. It's almost unbelievable how ignorant they are. But still, let's go back to this, because predeterminism is a theological question. It's also a scientific question. In other words, if we're going to be able to say that there's a natural, some people think there's natural predetermination, that means a person would know everything that goes on today, since some people say there's no such thing as freedom, therefore you should be able to work out exactly what's going to happen. The only reason we can't work out what's going to happen, we don't have enough knowledge. That's one of their premises. However, I don't want to go into this in too in too much detail now, it takes us away from getting to the answer to the basic question of Ashgocha. But in your question now, you've really added a second question. Now, one question is, let's speak of it from the point of view of Hashem. Those of us, we accept Hashem is absolute existence, and He knows also what's going to happen. And then there's given human beings freedom. So on the basis, this holds a paradox, as it mentioned in Pirkei Avot, and Rabbi Akiva puts it as a paradox. And the Rambam answers the question in a very modern manner, although perhaps at the time when his Sefer, Mishneh Torah, Hilchot Teshuvah was published, I don't think the Raiva really understood the depth of the Rambam, because he criticized some of this. Now you've added a second question. You've assumed that Hashem also controls whatever's going to happen. So let's deal with that one first, because it's the Rambam answered in a very easy fashion. That we say Hashem has given human beings freedom. Nevertheless, we say Hashem controls everything that takes place. So how do you answer that question? Looking at it from, even from the Siddur, from the Chumash, from the Tanakh, what you know, how is that question answered in the most simple fashion all through the Tanakh? Does Hashem control everything?
Yes, I would say yes.
But Hashem is also, Hashem says in the Chumash, a few times in many different ways, see, I've said before you today, you can choose virtue or choose vice. It depends on you. Hashem said that. So it says on the other, Hashem controls everything. So if He controls everything, how can He give the human being freedom? So what's the answer?
Maybe He gives sometimes the Ashgacha, if you have the Ashgacha, sometimes He gives them freedom, sometimes not. Like Pharaoh, He gave him freedom, He took it away. Gave him freedom, took it away.
Okay.
He can do anything He wants.
Generally speaking, though, Hashem wants to give everybody freedom, generally. There may be exceptions, but generally He gives everybody freedom. And nevertheless, He controls everything. So the Rambam says clearly, and there's so many psukim to prove it, And those who've been previous shiurim should be able to tell me the answer right away. You know? And these are questions that when you start meeting people who are searching a bit the truth, they all ask this question. But the question is so clear in the whole Torah. The Rambam puts it this way. He says, just like Hashem controls the world. He's also made laws of nature. We discussed that before. In other words, there are Olam Kiman Noheg, there's such a thing as natural laws. Okay, there could be exceptions, but nevertheless, most phenomena which we observe around us are repetitive. They repeat themselves all the time. In other words, there's some regular juxtaposition between certain events and other events, which causes us to say there's causality. Yeah? One thing links up with the other. And one type of phenomena produces a second type of phenomena all over the world. So this is, the more that science grows, the more we see the interconnections. So therefore Hashem controls it all. Hashem has said, right, without my power it will cease to exist. And give him power to this globe, and therefore life on this globe will continue. But I've also given, especially, different beings got different functions. Yeah, there are animals and birds of prey which are cruel in their habits, and there are others which are kind in their habits. But they've got no choice. They're given different functions. Human beings, I've given them freedom of choice. So Rambam says, just like Hashem has made the law of gravity, and He made the law of combustion, and He made all different laws that exist in nature, that science is constantly discovering more and more of the inner connection between all the different phenomena in the world, which are controlled and which follow certain patterns. They even follow specific logical a mathematical formula, which is amazing. It becomes more and more amazing the more the scientific knowledge grows. So this is one of the greatest aspects to see. The design in nature is just enormous, but it's controlled. But Hashem wanted the human being to have freedom, and therefore He gave human being. He says explicitly, "Min haTorah, min haNevi'im, min haKetuvim," a human being got freedom. Not, let's say, a person is born as a cripple, and then he decides, "Oh, I want to have a healthy leg instead of a crippled leg." He can want and want and want. It's true. You can go to different medical procedures and maybe you can get a replacement. But you can't remove the initial crippled aspect of this human body. The same applies to each person. Some people are born blind, some people are born deaf, and some people are born with all their faculties working. Hashem has said, "I'm not giving you freedom in everything, no? But I'm giving you freedom to choose virtue, because the conscience is the voice of God in man, and therefore a person can either be a wicked murderer or he can be a saint." I mean, there are some Muslims today who are very saintly, and they wouldn't hurt a flower. The people who are near to Muslim or different ideas of the Far Eastern, they do their best to produce saintliness, and certainly in the history of Islam, there are plenty of them, plenty of saints, Islam saints. On the other hand, there are many of them who become the worst criminals one can imagine. And they're setting up a criminal state, you know, and even the world is quiet about it. And this is what's to some extent, you know, they'll realize that they're destroying the divine image of man. And as you say, it might happen even they'll be treated like Paro. Who knows what Hashem will do? But Paro was a similar situation. He was addicted to crime, addicted to cruelty. No more like Paro won't destroy the conscience. So it hasn't stopped since those times. It goes on all the time. And if there's one thing we see today, that the struggle between morality and murderous criminality in the world is threatening the whole future existence of mankind. So the answer to the question is that it says Hashem chofetz leman tzidk. Hashem wanted human beings to have freedom. And if you look at the Tshuva, 5th and 6th chapter, the Rambam says this simply. Quite a simple answer. A person who accepts freedom makes good sense. Yeah? It makes better sense than anything. I'll tell you, when I had once a debate in public, then I had to have a debate. He asked me to come to his office, debate in private, with a person who said there's no such thing as human freedom, no such thing as the soul, no such thing as religion, and so on. So I kept on bringing arguments against him. He didn't like it. So he said, "Please come to my office, I want to speak with you." And he said to me, "Why do you keep arguing with me?" I said, "But according to your view, I'm not a free person. Why do you ask me such a question? It's predetermined." He believed in natural predetermination. "No one is free, you're telling me. Then in that case, I'm not free. You can't blame me for arguing with you, because I'm predetermined. That's why do you come in the class with a kippah on your head?" So I said, "Why not? They say Indians with turbans, why should I?" He got angry. I said, "Why do you get angry? I thought you said it's what predetermined should be angry." You know, he didn't really have answers, couldn't get out of it. And I'll tell you, I gave a talk in South Africa was prepared by Osamir on the question of free will and determinism. I'll never forget that occasion. So I quoted this. I quoted this professor here, who was the major writer and teacher on what's called it's a philosophy of logical determinism, which denies anything spiritual. And he said, on the previous Sunday, in the high-class British paper, The Observer, this same person, he had a near-death experience, and he recanted his philosophy. Because in the near-death experience, he was clinically dead. And nevertheless, he experienced not a spiritual life, and was also able to see without eyes what was going on in his home or other places where people were speaking about his situation. And so he said it broke down, the near-death experience. He could see that he has a soul. Yeah. So, but Rambam answers this question simply. He says, Hashem wants human beings to have freedom, and everybody's got the principle of freedom, he's got it inside himself. It may be that he's got conditions that will make him inhibited in many things. We no longer have freedom. Like, for example, today, this is one of the areas in which Rav Dessler was perhaps the greatest in recent times, was in his analysis of human freedom from the point of view of Torah, from the point of view of psychology. So the main point is that the principle of freedom between moral good and evil exists within each person, but the extent to which he allows it to influence his life varies non-stop, also within each person. Let's say, if I'm sitting around here, none of us have freedom to worship idols with a passion, unless we're lunatics. Yeah? If anybody would start passionately bowing down, maybe bringing incense to an idol, yeah? It does it with a passion, not with some sort of such philosophical interpretation to all that's behind it, and some of the Buddha worship. People who really believe in it, I mean, there's something wrong with their minds, we would say. So therefore, it goes from the level of being a freedom of choice, which it no longer is, to be a level of following stupidity or following sensibility, being a person of common sense. And the same applies to most of us with regard to rape and murder and things like that. That we're inhibited against it. We have no freedom. Don't have freedom in most of the mitzvahs of the Torah. But we have freedom in areas where there's a balance between the powers of good and powers of evil influencing us. For example, somebody insults us a lot, so here we've got freedom. The person's got freedom. His one part of his personality will say, well, I'm going to, I'd like to bash him, but I'm not going to bash him up. But I'm going to shout at him. We have anger. Yeah? And other people say, well, I regard his insults to me like a dog barking. So the person has the choice. So freedom of his choice is, are you going to give in to anger or not? Or will you be sensible and say, anger only makes him more ill, and anger will not take away his provocation. So therefore, I'm going to regard his provocation like a dog barking. So that's the choice I've got. And all of us have choice. We have choice if we're going to get up in the morning or stay lazy in bed. That's our choice. Many of us choose laziness. And many of us, we get up, even if it's not so easy. So each one's given his tests. And the tests are always in comparison with the level of the battle that's taking place, good and evil, in his soul. So that's all the choices. Hashem wants human beings to have choice. Why? Because he wants to give us the highest challenge in life. Mi ale bar Hashem, we said this morning. And that's the challenge Hashem gives us. Okay. Yeah, I've only got a few minutes, just excuse me, because I have to stop early today as well. So I just want to conclude this a bit. So one question is, which is simpler. There's no contradiction between predeterminism in human behavior and freedom of will in human behavior, because it all depends on the level of inhibitions which has come to a person through his training in the past, from parents, from environment, and from teaching, and through his own past actions, which also create frequently inhibitions. So therefore he's got inhibitions which stop him from doing evil, and some are stopping from doing good in certain directions. And the freedom of choice is nevertheless given, each person at his level. But the other question is the one of foreknowledge, and that's really even easier to understand. How can Hashem have foreknowledge if human beings still have freedom? But that's that's why I brought it here, because this pasuk, the Rambam brings this pasuk. How yotze yachad libom? Why does Hashem know Mavin? He knows what human beings do, and he knows where they're holding. How can he know what they're going to do next year? Because yotze yachad libom. Because yachad means that time, by Hashem, is by definition, is beyond time and space. Therefore, the past, the present, and the future may be syncopated together. Yachad libam. That's how man is created. Man is created in the dimension of time. Therefore, for us, we say like this. I'll go say it in the beautiful quotation in Ezra. He says, "He'avar ayin." The past doesn't exist anymore in our concept of time. It's been in the past. The future isn't there yet. So neither the past exists nor the future exists. What exists? This moment. The present is just like an eye wing. So why worry? I mean, we live in time, and time keeps moving, and therefore the past is nothing. Already give, it's finished with. The future isn't there yet, so it's nothing to do with me now. This moment exists. That's how it is with us. Now all of us, we can have a knowledge of the past, even though it's not there. And today, well, you've got videos. You know? So therefore, everything that's happened in the past can be videoed. And therefore I can see today what happened in the past. It's very simple. In dreams and in prophecies, what is shown to even to human being, the human mind, when we were awake, there's a clear division, conscious time. Conscious time is only the present second, which is real existence. The other time is psychological time. In other words, the time of the past, which really doesn't exist anymore. But in my mind, I can have it because of videos, because of memory. And the future doesn't exist yet. But I can try and work it out in my mind and to make certain estimates of what's going to be the weather forecast or what's going to happen. But it's no real knowledge. But in dreams and in the subconscious mind can sometimes break through the barriers of time. The subconscious mind goes back to the root of the human soul. The human soul comes from Hashem, it's beyond time. And therefore subconsciously, deep down, we can have sometimes revelations of what's going to happen. Like some dreams actually come true, that's happened. And a prophet, is also, it's an inner experience wherein he is shown a picture of what's going to happen. So if human beings can know what's going to happen, without influencing those human beings, they just travel, like, you know, most science fiction becomes science fact. So when I was a youngster, a very popular work by H.G. Wells was called The Time Machine. Yeah. Today they make a time machine for the past. In the old city, you've got a time machine that takes you right through this official life. But scientifically, if we could travel faster than the speed of light, we'd be able to make a time machine for the future as well. I mean, so that's the science fiction concept, which might become true even. It's possible through the scientific discovery. We might be able to travel into the future and then come back to the present. That's the time. You go in the train, you travel 10 years or 20 years into the future, you see the world around you, and then you come back to this world. So, you know, especially we're going to start having, you know, space travel becoming popular, you never know what might happen. You start traveling faster than the speed of light, then you could travel into the future and come back to the present. That's a time machine. But in any case, you see it already in the prophets. So therefore Hashem, surely you can know the future without influencing the people. Even if in a dream you can be shown the future, what's going to happen? About people who make their own choices. And of course, there's many episodes which is quite evident. It turns out that people are sometimes given a certain glimpse in the future when the barrier that exists in the conscious mind is taken away. So he said like this, it's a yachal libam. So Hashem is certainly can know the future. And that's what the Rambam says. Hashem's knowledge is not like human knowledge. Hashem's knowledge, he's got certain knowledge of everything. And therefore he can know the future just like we can know the past. And it's because it's beyond time. And therefore he doesn't control what goes on within time, but choice takes place within the world of time. We live, you know, in this world, in the world of time. So that's what Rabbi Bechai says. But he says there's two hashgochas. He says one hashgoch is that Hashem gives everyone according to what he deserves, according to his level of choosing the good instead of the bad, choosing virtue instead of vice. But there's a second hashgacha, to protect a person and save him from all more regular happenings. And that does not apply by every person. It applies only to the great saints. And that answers the kashya. The Rambam, when he speaks about general hashgacha, he says, everyone, no one has except the wicked people. This is the first type of hashgacha. And when the Ramban speaks of hashgacha, which clings only to the saints, he's about the second type, people who constantly think of Hashem, and they connect up with him, and then they're given specific protection. It says in Tehillim frequently this. The Shmira on this level is given to the great saints, and they feel it also. I think the Rambam, he felt constantly how Hashem was helping him to achieve his fantastic life's work in so many different directions. Because he was very close to Hashem in all his thoughts. And but that's why the Ramban says also, when Am Yisrael are perfect, and there are many of them, and they try to, the nation as such, attach itself to Hashem, then they are given a level which is far beyond nature, as is described in the Chumash. Then Hashem will bless them physically and bring them to a very high physical level as well. That will come, time of the Geula, when evil, in many of its present aspects, will become obsolete, including warfare. So let's hope that happens soon.